I speak to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Well, today is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Did y'all know that?
Yes.
Good. And it is traditionally the Sunday that we hear the story of the Transfiguration, when Jesus takes three disciples up a mountain and meets Elijah and Moses. And Jesus becomes transfigured. His clothes, actually his entire being, becomes radiant. And God's voice comes out of a cloud, saying, "This is my beloved, listen to him." It's also the Sunday that we hear the story in our Old Testament reading about Elijah being carried up into the heavens in a whirlwind. And Elijah, his faithful apprentice, is left behind, tearing his clothes in desperate grief. These are two stories that are difficult to put our heads around. And yet, in a very deep sense, they touch our truest nature of being human. These are stories of the challenge of letting go of a relationship of deep devotion, the kind of letting go known by Elijah and Peter and Simba. Yes, Simba, the young lion in The Lion King, Disney's The Lion King. Max and I saw it on stage this past week. It was phenomenal. It's amazing how easy it is to relate to a story like The Lion King, how easy it is to see yourself in that story, and the connections that we can draw between The Lion King and our Old Testament story and our gospel. And I'm being very serious here, so serious that I'm going to give you my sermon points up front, and then I'll go back and unpack them. So point number one, life has its whirlwinds. Point number two, don't be afraid to pick up the mantle that is being passed to you. Point number three, therefore, practice waiting. So let's unpack. Point number one, life has its whirlwinds. In the first reading from 2 Kings, we hear of Elisha, who is an apprentice to the great prophet Elijah. Elijah's time is coming to an end, and Elijah does not want to let go. He is staying as close to Elijah as he possibly can. As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. He says three times. Everyone knows that Elijah is the one who is to carry on the work of Elijah. But before Elijah cannot fathom being without him, no, he does everything in his power to deny what will happen until it does. And Elijah is swept up in a whirlwind. But before that happens, Elijah asks what Elijah needs. And Elijah asks for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, let me interpret. Elijah is asking for Elijah to accept him as his firstborn son, to adopt him. Because you see, the firstborn sons were entitled to 2/3 of the family inheritance. So a double portion means twice the spirit that Elijah would leave for the other prophets. But this was not simply a request to have more of the family wealth. Elijah was asking for Elijah's presence to be with him, a double portion of his presence. And he needed it in order to carry on the work of the great prophet. "Ask what you need from me, and I will give you," Elijah said. Didn't we hear Jesus say the same? "If you ask in my name, I will give you." The whirlwind happens, and Elijah's witnessing of Elijah's departure is painful. Like a child torn from its parents' arms, Elijah cries out to the one who has adopted him and mentored him, and he tears at his clothes. But in witnessing Elijah's ascent, a painful experience, he receives Elijah's spirit, and he picks up the mantle, literally. He picks up Elijah's cloak and continues on as a great prophet. You see, even in the whirlwind, Elijah finds direction and strength. Point number 2. Don't be afraid to pick up the mantle being passed to you. This is where the Lion King comes in. See, Disney had a gift for creating a story that captures the important elements of what makes us human. Our strengths and our weaknesses, our joys and our sorrows. The scene opens with breathtaking beauty. All the jungle animals are gathered together as the great Lion King, Mufasa, raised his newborn cub, Simba, up toward the sky as a presentation to the previous kings. Kings that Simba would eventually learn watch over him from the night sky. Now it's up to Mufasa to teach Simba what it is to be king. And the most important talk that he has with his young cub is when he assures him that he will one day have a roar that will shake the whole jungle. And then he shows him the night sky and explains that all those beautiful lights are spirits of the past kings who have cared for the jungle and ruled over it. And they are now watching over them. Those lights are always there, even when the light of the great sun makes them not visible. Now you know the story. Mufasa is killed. Simba runs away because he thinks it's his fault. A bad lion, his uncle, acts as king and ruins the jungle. Eventually, Simba comes back and is reminded that his father, Mufasa, is not only watching over him, but that it is up to Simba to be king of the jungle. And with his father's spirit, he is able to let go of his crippling fear, and he finds the courage to rid the jungle of the bad lion. Simba picks up the mantle and serves as king of the jungle, knowing that his father's spirit is with him. And that brings us to the gospel. And point number three, practice waiting. That's W-A-I-T, waiting. And I want you to remember that the root to the word wait is like the strands of a rope that when they bind together, one strand is not that strong. But when they are bound together, they become strengthened. Keep that concept of weight in your minds. The gospel, the transfiguration. Jesus has taken three of his disciples up a mountain to get away, we assume, to pray. And while they are gone, while they are there, he is transfigured. He begins to glow from the inside. Even his clothes glow. And then suddenly Elijah and Moses were standing with him talking. Have you ever wondered how the disciples knew who they were? We aren't told that part. Did Jesus stop the conversation and politely say, "Oh, forgive me, guys. Let me introduce you"? I also have to wonder, what else are we not told? Like, what were they talking about? Now, the Gospel of Luke tells us that they were talking about Jesus' departure. But Mark doesn't give us any more detail. I'm also struck by the number of times someone is told to wait. Remember the rope. Beginning with the disciples who were left behind, those who did not go up the mountain. What was their waiting like? Was it simply time passing? Or was their waiting a time of strengthening for them? When Jesus and the three disciples got to the top of the mountain, did Jesus tell them to wait here and watch? You're about to see something really crazy. What was that wait like for those three? Did this shared experience strengthen their relationship? This was so much more than just the passage of time. As they watched and saw Elijah and Moses appear. And can you hear Peter exclaim, "Wait! I know! Let's build three dwellings!" Immediately followed by a deep voice that breaks in from a cloud, "Wait! And listen." And then the cloud lifted, and silence. And silence. And more waiting through silence. until Jesus finally begins to move toward them and motions to them that it's time to go back down the mountain. You see, each weight is different, as weights usually are. Sometimes easy, sometimes difficult, but each weight can be strengthening. So ask yourself, how do you think of waiting? Do you think of it as a burden or as a gift? This Wednesday, we will begin a new season, a season that practices a different kind of waiting, Lenten waiting. Lenten waiting is about deep and important reflection. Lenten waiting is intentional. I'll say that again. Lenten waiting is intentional. Lenten waiting is when God says, put aside time for me. Lenten waiting is a time to be intentionally open to God and to ask yourself, are you like Elijah? Are you like Simba? Because truth is, there's an Elijah in each of us holding on to something. And there's a Simba inside each of us needing to learn and to discover our roar. Oh, and there's one more weight at the end of the gospel reading. As Jesus and the disciples were coming down the mountain, there's one last, oh, by the way, wait. Don't tell anyone about this. It's perhaps the most confusing, but also the most powerful. For it was the one that Jesus said as he was setting his face toward Jerusalem and the cross. So how will you respond the next time God says, wait?